Welcome to Banking on Information, where we dive deep into the dynamic world of financial services and technology. Discover the innovative solutions driving the industry forward, explore the latest trends, and uncover the strategies that are reshaping the future of finance. Join us as we unravel the why, what, and how of solution providers in the financial services industry. Stay tuned for insights that will revolutionize the way you think about money and technology.
Hello and welcome to Banking on Information. Today with me is Anil Stanley, the CEO and founder of The Core Point. Welcome to the podcast, Neil.
Glad to be with you, Rutger.
So we talked a little bit about this. We're going to start with a question based on the book by Simon Sinek, Start With Why. We're going to ask, why do you do what you do, and why did you originally start The Core Point?
Yeah, so, you know, I believe in our industry's capacity to help people manage their money. I had the privilege of starting, or the situation of starting, in the industry many, many years ago when we didn't have much capacity technology-wise. Everything was one-to-one. You know, you did stuff locally. You only thought about your competitors who were local. And as the industry's evolved, we've gotten to the point where we're competing against everyone everywhere all the time. And yet the industry, many ways, Rutger, acts like nothing's changed. In the in the realm that I work in, time deposits, it looked just like it did decades ago, which tends to commoditize what we do. And I worked at a very progressive organization, First National Bank of Omaha. We did things differently than the peers. And I didn't realize how resistant to change the industry was until I left there after 22 years. And what I've realized in being in the community banking space is that there is such a need for innovation, and not just automation. There are a lot of fintechers who are trying to automate things. What we know is that there are ways to improve the way bankers do things that bring value and cost the bank nothing. Yeah. That's what's so interesting. Bankers think it's a zero-sum game. If we give somebody something, we must have given it up. And the reality is we can do both simultaneously. So that's my why, sir.
Right. Now, that is a great starting point for The Core Point. Wanting to do things differently, helping bankers with innovation and helping them with technology. Now, tell me a little bit, based on that why, what you solve for the banks that you work with. What use case do you help them solve for?
Yes. So when you think about funding a bank, and I have the privilege of being kind of a finance-minded CEO, a bank CEO. I had the financial aspect of it. Of course, I had the human aspect of it too, but there's a lot of bank CEOs that came up on the lending side, and it's all about business development, business development, business development. But you have to look at how the bank makes money. That's the value proposition. Create value for your clients and create value for the bank simultaneously. And what we found was when it came to funding, they just said, we'll throw our rates out there. We'll throw rates out there until it works out. And, you know, some rates we'll share with everybody. Some rates we won't share with just everybody. So how does that work? How do you systematize that? And how do you take a group of people who are working with retail depositors and esteem them properly? Rutger, I've never met a commercial lender who would start out introducing themselves and say, I'm just a commercial lender here. But I've met so many personal bankers who said, I'm just a personal banker. They diminish their role. They basically claim that they're second or third class citizens. And so what we do is we go into a bank, and I'm thinking of a particular bank. We went in when they had a bunch of these third class citizens, and we said, folks, you are vital to the success of this bank. Now, we're not saying that the commercial lenders aren't vital. We know they are. Right. But everyone's vital. If you don't know about managing money, and if you're not a vital component of helping your depositors manage their money, what are you going to do in banking? Because you're going to need to get out of this industry, because there's no room for people who are order takers and product pushers. You need to be someone who helps people manage their money. So what we do is we go in and we give them tools, very simple tools. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of a particular situation where they had a very high cost of funds, Rutger, because all they did was rate promote. Well, if you promote rate, guess what people want? Rate.
Yep.
And they had one of the highest cost of funds in the industry. We started working with them 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And as as we have worked with them, they went from being in the 90th percentile down to the 40th percentile on their cost of funds. Huge differential. We're talking 60, 70, 80 basis points of differential on hundreds of millions of dollars of portfolio. That's real money.
Yeah. Now, when you do that, how does that generate value for your customer? Mm. And in what type of ways does that generate value for the customers that you work with?
Yeah. So there are, when we go in, it's very holistic, and that causes, as you know, bankers don't want to lose control of things, but we let them configure everything. But as it's holistic, we change their approach or process. We make it look a lot more like commercial lending. Instead of being the order taker with a rate sheet and a warm cup of coffee, we empower and equip people at the front line. This is scary for C-suite people. Wait a minute, we're going to empower the front line to negotiate? We already do on the commercial lending side. Why don't we on the deposit side? So we equip and empower them. We give them a platform. We give them some new products that make a lot of sense. And we train them and we track results. I'm a funds transfer pricing person. I know that you have to measure results. If you want to see something improve, you better know what your baseline is and you better know what you're looking for. And tell the team that's involved, here's what success looks like. This is what it feels like. This is what it comes out in metrics. And we can save 10 to 40 basis points. That one client I told you about, we saved them lots of basis points, but we will claim 10 to 40 basis points. And on hundreds of millions of dollars of portfolio, at 10 basis points, we're talking real money real fast. I just looked at a bank that's in the market right now that we're looking at. And in 2022, their entire CD interest expense, Rutger, $4 million the whole year.
Wow.
That's what it is annualized now, $53 million. They went from $4 million for the whole year of 22 to $53 million today. That's a huge number. And somebody needs to be managing that. And if you're managing it like it's 1982, sorry, it's not going to work.
Yeah. So you're creating value by creating more efficiency in the process, by making people confident in the front line and giving a better experience. And then to top it off, you basically reduce the cost of funds, which is the hard dollars and cents. So it's both better experience as well as cost of fund savings.
You nailed it. Now, here's what most bankers, when they hear what you said, they think, well, he's sprinkling magic fairy dust on this. No, no. Right. We're using very basic financial management techniques. We dollarize everything. Yep. We show how we stack up against the competition in dollars. We know how to identify the sleepers, the curious, and the rate shoppers. And so as you identify those personas and you work with them, you find that there is negotiation room, but not if you just throw out CD specials day in, day out. So you have to have a process to take that opportunity. And it used to be trivial because the difference between the highest rate and the lowest rate was just a few basis points. You know, when Fed funds were a quarter, if we pay 0.4 or 0.3, what difference does it make? Now it's the difference between paying 4.9 or 3.6. Wow, 130 basis points difference, huge.
Yeah, that is impressive. Now let's talk a little bit about the future. I like to do this thing called futures thinking. So we both don't know what the future is going to hold, but we can think about what a possible future could look like. So Neil, paint me a picture of what you think the banking industry looks like in 2034. So 10 years out, what does that look like? What's different? What's the same?
Yeah. So Rutger, the future of banking is really going to be focused in on how we integrate our best and brightest people as professionals with the tools to engage and know what we need to know at the time of a contact, a time of connecting with our clients. And that is going to require the use of AI. And it's really exciting. I'm just working right now. We're using AI for some training things. We're going to be using it for real-time coaching. And in the future, we may actually see a sales agent using our techniques that we've developed over time. The reason you can't use computerization of our technique hasn't worked is that there has to be a pace consideration to these conversations. And you cannot have just a simple decision tree. Because if there's a simple decision tree, then your depositors will game it because they'll play out the decision and then they'll go back and then take the sweetest deal. Because in sequence, you always offer what the depositor would be inclined to take potentially, but most profitable to your financial institution. And then you work them through a process where you give something, but you get something, give and get. And in the future, here's what's going to happen. CDs are going to look very different than they do today.
Okay.
Now, most people that are going to watch this are going to go, what do you mean CDs could look different? It's just a fixed rate for a fixed term. How could it be any different? Well, there's already a model out there, Rutger. It's called U.S. Treasuries. U.S. Treasuries is a fixed income security, fixed rate for a fixed term. But the market for U.S. Treasuries is gigantic compared to that for fixed income securities in banks, which are called CDs. CDs are in banks are a $3 trillion market. So there's this group of people who want a fixed income, fixed term product from a bank. But you know what they hear when they go to buy that fixed rate, fixed term? Penalty for early withdrawal. We're going to punish you for early withdrawal. And you know, Rutger, that's completely optional. That's completely designed by the banking industry and perpetuated by individual banks. It is not a requirement. And who would buy a U.S. Treasury if you were told, hey, on that 10-year Treasury, if you want to redeem it early, we're going to charge you a penalty. We're going to punish you for early redemption. We would not see that, that industry, that Treasury market be as robust as it is. So we have in our industry perpetuated a tool from the 60s and 70s because that's the way we've always done it. In the future, you're going to find that we're going to sell fixed rate, fixed term accounts, just like every other fixed income security. Bankers are going to awaken to the fact they're not giving up anything when they tell people we'll market value your early redemption. It's going
to be very interesting. So that that's a possible future that can happen where we're going to see that. How should we, if we go backcast that to today, how should banks get ready for that possible future if that happens? What do they need to do today to get ready for that?
Well, they can adopt that right now. They do not have to wait. It is not, we're not talking about sophisticated mathematics. If you know how to present value a cash flow, you too can offer a fixed rate, fixed term market value. We call them redeemable CDs because every consumer today wants their options. We have gone through an Amazonification. That's a word I'd like to be able to say consistently. and everyone now thinks differently about being a consumer because we know we can get things quickly and easily and we can trade it out if we didn't like it as we thought we would. And in banking, we haven't done that yet. In some ways, we are still stuck back decades ago, and we can change that. Individual banks can change that right now. They don't have to wait. Now, at some point, a big bank is going to do it, and the market's going to seize this, and everybody's going to be under the pressure of doing it at one time. But until that happens, individual community banks, individual credit unions, Rutger, can take advantage of this opportunity right now.
That is great. Well, so the future is already here. If you're ready to take it on, that is probably a great note to end on. Thank you very much, Neil, for this conversation. If you have any questions for Neil or myself, you can reach out to us on LinkedIn. Thank you so much, Neil, for being here.
Rutger, I appreciate it. And I appreciate what you're doing for the industry to bring insights like this to the industry players. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much. And until next time, choose to be curious.